We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combine to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Gentlemen, we are, what are we, like 2.5 weeks away from the National Football League regular season.
So close.
We got the O-Line Roadshow here, Mackie. Where are you? What is that microphone? Is that your traveling mic?
This is my traveling microphone. It looks like yours, actually.
What is that? Is it like a tiny one?
That's big.
Travel size
microphone here. So how about this? All right, I gotta brag. This happens to football players all the time. It doesn't happen to geeky podcasters. So I'm in Denver, but it's really Aurora, Colorado, for the Podcast Movement conference this week.
Nerd.
And it's me and a bunch of suspenders wearing high water pants.
Oh, nerd. PFF says.
Hey, guys, it's Phil. Phil came this year. Phil's back.
What kind of audio editing tools do you guys like? What kind of software do you guys like to use for your podcast?
Anyways, please.
I'm at MSP, and I'm in line to – I'm like a couple people behind for the security guy that checks your ID. And he's just going through his grind and looking down and whatever, having a day. And so it's my turn, and he looks up and he goes – oh my gosh, what's up, dude? And I was like, am I under arrest? He goes, I love Purple Daily and the O-Line Committee podcast.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's go. I still need to see your ID because there's security cameras here, but we have a fan at the Minneapolis airport.
Shout out that guy. Shout out the TSA agent, man.
Just grinding away. So, all right, I got some dumb football questions. You've got some dumb football answers for
you
me.
You hit me.
So if you guys, by the way, are just discovering the O-Line Committee, please click the subscribe button and the like button on this YouTube channel and video. And if you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, a 5-star rating and a positive review go a long way to helping us build this thing. So here's what we're going to do. I have sort of a current football events dumb question for the first one, and then we'll get to some audience dumb questions for the next two. All right?
I love it. Let's do it.
So here's my sort of my current events dumb question. Is Russell Wilson cooked?
I don't think so. I don't think he is. I think that organization was an absolute dumpster fire last year. Regardless of what people want to say, call it the head coach, whatever, I just think it was completely dysfunctional from top down. But I do know who is leading that place now, which is George Payton. And I think George Payton and Sean Payton. But George Payton up there is the GM. He's going to get that stuff right. I think Russell's still got some gas in the tank. Do I think he's Russell from 6 years ago? No. Do I think he's Russell that can still lead a team to a playoffs? Absolutely.
100% agree with that. Absolutely. And I think that last year was probably just a little bit too much to everybody's head. I'm not all going to put it on Nathaniel Hackett because I think there was a lot of players that probably should have stepped in and did some things. But at the same time, I agree with Jeremiah. I don't think he's the Russ he was when I played him because I saw a different guy. Like we used to take a knee and watch him to be like, dude, this guy is.
That wasn't that long. That was like 2 years ago though, right?
When he would get away from Alden Smith, if you got away from Alden Smith, it was incredible. But to make Alden Smith
You're talking like way back when you were the
Niners. That was like he's not that, but I agree with Jay. He could easily lead a team into the playoffs or even to a Super Bowl. I think he has the leadership mentality, but I think he needs to kind of chill out a little bit when it comes to some of that stuff, because I think at times he becomes a little too political. And I think you see quarterbacks at times go into this like ringer where they're just too much down this political train where you're like, no, just give me a real answer. I don't want the same old, they're a good team. We're a good team.
Let's ride. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country.
Never again.
Like,
dude.
Less of that, right? Exactly.
Is
even
he still
Jay's
doing
like,
that? Did
oh,
he stop
God.
Doing that?
No, I talked to someone on the Broncos and they were like, that saying is like banned. It's like banned. Like, because it was everywhere. Like, it was on
Sean
billboards.
Was like, no way. No
like,
way.
I think that's still like an open wound from last year. Is like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Like, if you say it, you're cut. You're gone. Like, I think that is like. That is just like the phrase that just gets you out of the building as fast as possible if you start running around saying, let's ride.
Yeah. I think there's questions about is it physically. I mean, once you get to your mid-30s, too, you're just not going to be the same physically as you were 10 years ago. But I've always sensed from the outside looking in. And Alex, you played in his division when you were with the Niners, and then you were with the Seahawks when he was still there toward the end of the 2020 season, yeah. I want to say. And so you've got it was one of the great football comebacks.
One of the great.
Time.
I mean, they're going to put a Netflix documentary. Jeez Louise, learn how to speak.
Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, it's okay.
Had a stroke right there.
Oh, you really did. I'm like, what is going on?
Okay? Sometimes the CTE just punches you out of nowhere, dude. It just raises its ugly head.
Man, that was brutal. Edit that out.
But it's his, like, from afar, it seems like whether it's his Instagram account or the Broncos Country Let's Ride. If it seems a little fake to me. It doesn't seem like you're talking to a real human being sometimes. Right. I want to see the real human being if I'm in that locker room. I want to see it's okay, dude, be vulnerable. What you know, who are you at your core? That's what I want
to
see.
But I also think that he kind of had to create that. I mean, when the Broncos signed him, everyone anointed the Broncos kings from the word go, right? They're like, Russell's here, watch out Mahomes, watch out Herbert, like big boys here to play. And I think he might have fed into that a little too much, and he might have bought into that a little too much and not really kind of shouldered the pressure, but let the pressure kind of control him. And he almost had to put up this big external shield of like, okay, this is what is expected, so I better toe this line, instead of exactly like you said, just understanding like, I'm just going to be who I am. Right? Like, I'm just going to be who I am. I'm just going to do what I do. I'm a good football player and go. But then you start reading the stuff of like, he gets his own office and like, he gets all this own stuff. And I think he just tried to do too much.
And that's what I said. You need to calm it down a little bit. And I think at the end of the day, the quarterbacks mostly show you who they are in the locker room, which is great, and that's who you want to see. But I think sometimes when they get a little too political to the media, I feel like that's a time when they start to shut down to us as well, too. It's like they're getting a little too out there, a little too extended in the generosity of like, hey, we're a team, we're going to stick this out, where it's like, dude, just tell them the truth, or tell us the truth, or be real. And sometimes it's like you said, Mackie, like the fakeness comes through really fast, and you're like, dude, just – And I feel bad for them because they do have to play that role because of the way that marketing is and their brands and all this stuff. And it's like, you can't say the wrong thing. You can't get in trouble. And it's like, sometimes I almost wish you guys could hear what they say because you would laugh so hard. And you would be like, I'm not laughing at that. I am laughing at that. I'm laughing. Like, they are such funny dudes and they're great guys. But I hate the walls that they have to put up around around everybody else. Because you're like, dude. It's coming off really weird now. You're making this seem really, really weird for everybody.
I would love if he would sign on to do the quarterback series. I think that would make Russ, I think that would make people see him a lot differently in a different light.
I agree.
Right? I don't think he'll ever do it because I think he's too much of a private person. But I think like something like that, if someone could peer behind the curtain of who is Russell Wilson, I think that would answer a lot of questions for people.
Yeah. Do you guys care? So there was, you know, Tom Brady had the thing where Alex Guerrero, his personal trainer, was in the building like 8 years ago in New England, and that was a thing. And that was so.
That was a big thing Russell, too, remember?
But Russell last year had his personal sort of training quarterback coach guru guy in the room, and Sean Payton was asked about that a few months ago and said, yeah, I don't know anything about that, but that doesn't happen on my watch. How did you guys feel about like a quarterback having an entourage of his own trainers around in the building?
I think it's great. I think it's great they have their own trainers, not in the building. The building is sacred, right? The building is sacred, right? When you walk, like media gets to go in the locker room and it gets on the private, that is it. But like inside those walls, it is just the dudes and the coaches and everyone else who's there to help you win. No outside noise, no outside voices, no outside opinions, none of that. Because that is all distractions, right? And we talk about it on the show a lot, distractions. The tiniest distraction in the NFL causes you to lose games. It really does. The tiniest little thing. And if you've got a, if you're just watching, like, dude, that's Russell Wilson getting coached by someone who's not on the coaching staff. Like, what is he actually telling him? And then all of a sudden things are going wrong. It's really easy to point the finger and be like, well, it's that guy's fault, right? Versus if you're just like, if it's everyone, it's like, no, it's everyone's fault. We're all in here with the same message, the same thing we're all working for. But like, all of a sudden you let outside voices in that are influencing the best position on the field, the guy that is the field general, and you have to start questioning, like, who's he listening to? Who is he actually listening to and taking the coaching from? Like, that becomes a huge issue. There should never, ever, ever be another voice in that room besides the coaches.
And that's the biggest reason, is because there should only be one voice in his head, and that's the OC. It's him and the OC going back and forth. It shouldn't be the OC's on my right and my quarterback coach is on my left. My quarterback coach says, you can make this throw at any time. The OC's like, don't throw it here because we don't like this cornerback at this time or whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just caught, you could get caught in these worlds. And at the same time, I don't know how somebody, and I guess I didn't know that, I don't know how I would feel about somebody not getting paid by the owner sitting in a room with me. Like, I can't express to you how weird it is, a feeling to be able to be like, you're just not allowed into where I work. And if you ever walked in, people would look at you and be like, what? Who the fuck is that guy? No, I'm not kidding you. Like, how many times when a new
Alex got that look at Vikings joint practice last week by
hilarious.
He got hassled by a security guard.
Security's coming over like, who is this guy? Who is this guy?
The guy came over three times. What was your name again? And he's like, and he's got his little IFB. Like, there's a 7-foot monster here that I don't know. What's he gonna do? I'm not sure.
Everybody comes over later. Like, got a lot of chatter about you on the radio today, there, buddy.
Yeah,
like being back at practice, huh? Yeah, you're welcome. But seriously, how many times, like, when a new scout would come in the room, you'd like, everybody would just be looking at him like, who is that guy? What do you do here?
What are you writing down?
Why are you in this meeting?
Why do you have a notepad? Like, show me your notepad.
As you get older, your job is to, like, look around the room. Who's in the room? Who is that guy? I don't know him. Get him out.
Yeah.
Why are we telling him our secrets? Like, I just don't know how I feel if they were like, this is Sam's quarterback coach. He's going to give Sam great advice. On what? How to throw the ball? Like, that's what four guys in this room's job is to do. We need a fifth to do it now. Well, and I hate when they're like, well, it's because he's non-biased. He's a non-biased party. That's actually the worst. We want him for the betterment of this team. We want him for anything that's for the good of this team.
We want him, like, to be biased.
Right?
All that being said, I'm a big component of everyone should have their own team. Right? Like, their own team of, like, whether it's a trainer.
Oh, of course.
Like, a personal head shrinker, whatever it might be. Like, to have your own team outside the building is really, really important.
Huge.
Right? They're your mentors, your advisors, people to lean on. But when you walk in those walls, it is just the team. No other voices.
Your boys.
Like, I think you even saw it. Like, Mahomes, he goes away. He goes to his guy. He freaking flew him up to Kansas City. He's like, I'll start you a business. You just do it here. Right? Like, there's a time and a place for all of that, but none of it is on company time.
No, because you make the other guys feel weird about it.
It'd just be weird.
Really, really weird. But I do agree with Jeremiah that if you do have a team outside of the facility that is non-biased and tells you more of the truth and more of, like, the this is what I'm seeing, and I'm not just saying this to be nice to you. It's more like, this is exactly what I see and this is how I see it. Those are the guys that help build you outside the walls and that you're leaning on all the time. Like, with Jeremiah's clients right now, they call him and they're like, hey, what are you seeing? What do you think? This is what they're saying. And so it's easy for Jeremiah to be like, I'm a non-biased party. I'm not playing on your team. This is what we're seeing. And it's great. And then we feel like, especially as an offensive lineman, and there's a lot of positions that could say this, but it's easy for guys to not see things. And we've talked about this on the show. Like, you just can't see yourself doing bad things sometimes. And you're like, I don't know why I'm doing that. And then somebody else will watch and be like, well, it's because you're not, you know, setting with depth, or you're not setting, you know, fast enough or whatever. And you're like, oh yeah, you're right. What an idiot. Like, I can't believe I didn't see it. So that's a great sounding board to have. But two, also, like, the doctors. It's always great to have your own doctors to go to. Somebody that's always going to tell you the truth. Like, people that walk out of this league that say they're blindsided, it's silly to me. You have all the resources to go outside the building and look around and be like, hey, I'm not feeling right. They're telling me I'm okay. What's really wrong with me? That way you know going down the road, like, okay, this is a real problem. I know nobody in the NFL is saying it's a problem, but it's a problem because four other doctors outside of here who are real doctors are like, hey, this is a problem. And so it's like, okay, now I know I can fix it myself or whatever, but it's great to have that as a sounding board outside the rooms, but never inside.
See, having your own quarterback coach in the room is weird. I want to see someone bring their own doctor inside the walls, just walking around with like a stethoscope. You
dude,
know?
They'd
who's that guy?
You.
That's
they
my
would
doctor.
Stab you.
He'd go missing. He'd go
walk
missing.
Walk in with another doctor. You'd go missing with the doctor. How dare you?
I'm gonna need dude. You to tap your knee
crazy?
With the little
you
knee
would,
tapper thing. Yeah.
That's what's even more messed up is you would rather bring in your own football coach than your own doctor, like your own, because you'd be like, dude, you're dead. They're gonna fillet you.
Okay, I lied. I have two dumb current event football questions. Here's my second one. Then we'll get to the audience ones from the YouTube comments. So Trey Lance just got beat out for the backup quarterback job in San Francisco by Sam Darnold.
Oh boy!
And he's according to reports, they're probably going to wind up trading him for, you know, like 10 cents on the dot. They gave up multiple first round picks 10. A few years ago, right?
Yeah.
To pennies, move all the way up.
Pennies on the dollar,
so, dude. Someone's in some hot water too, by the way.
Well, I have a take on that. But so here's the thing. He graduated high school in 2018. He has thrown fewer than 500 passes in college, regular season NFL, and preseason NFL. So my question to you guys, he's 6'4", he's like 220 pounds. He's physically one of the more gifted quarterbacks we've seen out of the draft. Is Trey Lance a lost cause, or would you look like if the Niners said, hey, man, it's a 6th-round pick, we just got to get rid of him, would you take a shot on a Trey Lance?
For a 6th-round pick?
Yes. For a 6th-round pick, I would.
Or a 4th-round pick, like a day 3 pick.
I think a day 3 pick, you take a shot on a guy like Trey Lance, because you're exactly right. You know, you got to remember, too, he came out the COVID year. He played one game for North Dakota State in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
One. Like, he had a great 2019, and then he played one game in 2020, and they were like, anointed. Ding king, right? And a lot of it, I think, is because of the Carson Wentz effect, right? They saw what Carson Wentz was, how he performed at North Dakota State, and then they were like, okay, this guy's just going to be just like Carson Wentz, but even more physically talented. I think you get him plugged into a system that can develop him as a passer and continue to work on him. I do think he's a chance to be a starting quarterback in this league just because of the physical attributes. You know, but I think whoever drafted him in, they got really, really lucky they drafted Brock Purdy too. Like, if you don't draft Brock Purdy as well with Trey Lance, like, you are SOL right now. You're putting everything in on Sam Darnold, right? It's like what's happening down in Tampa, right? It's like, woo, Baker Mayfield beat out Kyle Trask, right?
God. Like, what a joke, right? Like, that was even a fight.
But, like, for me, you can take him because he's still on a rookie deal, right? If you trade for him, you're getting a first-round talent on a rookie deal that you can still develop and decide if you want to pay him later on, because he still is cheap. Right, like that quarterback room in San Francisco right now is very, very cheap, and that's probably why if they can't trade him for what they want, they may just keep him.
I don't agree with that at all. I just think that offense is way too easy for a quarterback. It's extremely quarterback friendly. You're handing the ball off 75% of the time, and when you're not, you're faking the handoff and throwing it to the guy right across the middle. It is literally the easiest quarterback job in the NFL. You are the third string on this team. You are the third string, Broby. You're not even the first. You're not the second. That's Sam Darnold. That was another failed first-round pick who found himself. Like, you're talking about too much money. And eventually, you're like, how much can we put into this kid for this much money? Like, he's taking a spot on our roster. He's doing this. He's a quarterback. Like, that's another position that's always watched over. Like, it's one of those things to me where I'm like, man, if they don't do something, and I'm not to say that – somebody's in hot water right now, okay? The number 3 pick overall is not starting. And not only that, he's been demoted again. And it's big news, right? It's like putting somebody's job on the line again. And that's where it's messed up that they make a big deal about this, because it's almost like if you're Frisco and you're the Yorks, you're looking at this like, why is everybody laughing at us? Why is everybody laughing that our number 3 overall pick is, because he's the, all right, so now we see what happens this year. And if it doesn't go well this year, I think you don't see a good outcome. I think that's where you see people go, hey, boy, what just happened?
You're not answering the question. You're not answering the question. The question
would I take
is,
him? No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't take him for a day 3 pick?
No.
You're basically saying if Kyle Shanahan and this would worry me too, he put Matt Ryan on an MVP pedestal.
He broke
Jimmy Garoppolo's
leg last year. He only played, what, like one game?
Listen,
he's completely washed because he played one game last year and
he's
snapped
completely
his
washed.
Leg.
I'm just
yes,
saying,
you are. You're saying
I'm just saying my team is not trading for him. Yours can. Mine won't.
You're saying he's a bad human. You're saying he's a bad...
Yeah, way to put words in my mouth. I literally just was like, my team is feeling pretty fine right now with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask.
If you're Tampa right now, you don't take Trey Lance.
If I'm Tampa, yeah, I would take... Oh, definitely.
Okay, so
sure.
Yes, you're saying
I'm just
you would... No, you're talking yourself in
You're talking about
now.
A team who has Baker Mayfield as a starting quarterback. Yes, I'll take anything.
That's what we're saying. We're saying with 31 other teams.
You didn't say
teams.
If I'm Tampa. You just said if I'm a team. If I'm a team, I'm assuming I'm Kansas City.
Is Tampa
I'm
a good team? Is Tampa a team?
Oh, you didn't say what kind of team.
Oh, my God.
You literally
God,
just
dude.
Said, you were like, if you're a team, okay, well, am I a better team? Because, no, I'm okay. not. I'm sitting pretty.
If you're okay, a bottom time, third team, if you're
for
a bottom.
Sure I'm trading. If I'm Baker Mayfield's team, I am trading right now. Absolutely.
Next time, I will specify,
thank
are you,
you
a crappy team yeah, or are you a dynasty?
Okay. Alex is like, really. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if the Kansas City Chiefs should pick up Trey Lance. Well, no shit.
No, my point is you never said. I know. Well, am I thinking I'm on a bad team? Jesus. No.
If you're okay, if you're a Canadian Football League team, Alex, would you?
Yeah, I'm trading
you
know, for sure.
Good See? Night.
Oh my God. So, but so here, you said something that I will fight you on something you said. You said, hey, if I'm the Yorks, if I'm looking down, heads might roll on this. Now, okay, yeah. Like if they have a train wreck season, like okay, then. But right now, here's the thing that I would say. People are framing this like, this is why you got to be careful being aggressive for quarterbacks in the first round. I would say, well, if you're a franchise that's if you're the Browns for 20 years, or you're a desperate franchise that needs a quarterback to save your crappy team, okay, well, but if you're the 49ers, if you're a well-run team like the Steelers, the Vikings have had good rosters, right? You should be taking shots on quarterbacks because guess what? You can fail epically like the Niners just did, and still be one of the four Super Bowl favorites going into 2020. Like, the Niners failed epically with this, but they are so well-run. They can build a roster. They can go find a Brock Purdy, which there's some luck involved there. This should not deter teams from being aggressive looking for a quarterback in the first round.
And it won't. Don't ever think that what the outside noise is going to affect a GM or how a coach is going to go up there and aggressively go after people. It's what they feel. It's what they think, the vibe of the player. And they're always wrong. And at the end of the day, I think once you go through it for a very long time, you realize, hey, we're wrong a lot of times. It's just how it goes, right? They're just right a lot, too. And you get guys later in the draft who make up for guys early in the draft that don't pan out as well. Or maybe you draft a guy early that's a phenom and the rest of the guys suck. Like, every year is so different and it's up and down. It should never change how somebody goes after somebody. But I will say that it's going back to that question, next time you have to specify, because that almost got me and Jay into another. Look at him. He's still upset about it. He's still mad about it. Look at him.
I want
Let's
to see
go
you
through the progression here. Alex said, no, wouldn't take him. No chance. Done. Well, I mean,
I never
said I was Tampa,
done. I just told you why I wouldn't take him. You're in a very quarterback-friendly
offense. I'm going to go back and rewatch the tape here. I'm going to rewatch this episode and map out your just not good take.
I will say this. Terrible looking take. Looking back. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it because you're just going to yell at me again. You're going to yell at me again.
All right. Next question comes from the YouTube comment section here. Keep sending us your dumb football questions via the YouTube comment section. We read all of them. We stockpile them. So Tim Peters says, I think I know what you guys are going to say, is the offensive line the most important position group on offense?
I mean, there's five of us on the field at one time, so we.
So let's say it's receivers. Let's say it's pass catchers.
Do we
want to
go the least important all the way up? Sure. I think O-line's number one. Alex, do you agree with me on
for
that?
For sure,
at least?
Over quarterback.
I think O-line's probably the most important on the entire team, just because.
Not biased.
I mean,
that's
dude.
That's
not
a
even
not
being
biased opinion.
You can win a lot of games without a quarterback. You can win a lot of games without a running back. Look at the new offenses in the NFL. You could win it a lot of ways, but you can't win it without the O-line. And every coach says it every week. They're like, dude, it starts up front. It starts in the trenches. If we win up front, we're going to win this game. If the offense is schmoeing the other team, the defense is just going to feast on their energy. That's just how this goes. And so it's always like, hey, as long as we come out and play well, the rest of the team's going to follow our lead. Because if they see us kicking dudes in the face, they're going to be like, all right, we're allowed to do it now too. And that's how you kind of start to get a team to embody this. It starts up front mentality. You got to be badasses up front. And that's why I think it's always number one with the O-line.
O-line number one, quarterback number two.
For sure.
I think quarterback is number two.
Fullback's got to be number three.
I would almost say safeties are three.
We're on offense.
Oh, I thought we were doing whole team.
You can do team.
I would say O line and then quarterback for a team.
You are just making your own questions.
The question was offense. The question was offense. But Alex's take was
what was the question?
You said that you said it's the most important on the team.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
All right. Well, do we want to do offense or team?
Let's go. Let's go team.
I want to see your team.
Is offensive line still number one?
Yes. Offensive line is number one. Defensive line is number two.
Can we separate that into edge and interior on defense?
No.
No.
Because you were just you're setting the trenches, dude. You're
I mean, you can have.
We love all those guys.
You can have two great edge rushers if you've got two sacks of potatoes sitting in the middle. Like they're just those dudes are neutralized. Those dudes do nothing, right? So I'm gonna say D line number two. I'll probably go safeties, DBs number three. I'm gonna go quarterback. No, quarterback's number three. Quarterback's gotta be number three.
So trenches. One and two.
Trenches for sure, one and two. Quarterback. And then you would say safeties, wouldn't you?
Yeah, safeties is probably four, just because if you don't have a good back end, you're toast.
Over cornerbacks.
Yes, because safeties are run support. Safeties are run support.
How many good teams have bad cornerbacks? We see it all the time. It's, like, as long as the safeties don't get blown away, we're
good. Think of some of the great defenses. What did they all have? Great safeties.
Ed
right?
Reed.
Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, John Lynch back when he played. I mean, Harrison Smith, like dudes that were Jamal Adams from
Charles
Seattle.
Woodson,
right? Like those dudes that are safeties that are killers that can get up there and run support and then also be able to cover and a ton of ground in the back end. Like those dudes are super important. So you go safeties there. I'm gonna go probably running backs number four. Because I think a good running back can really make or break a team. I know that they're devalued, but I really do think having a really solid back and a rotational back running back room, right? Your bell cow, your scat receiver, your dude that's just going to come in there on third down and pick up any blitz thrown to him. A good running back room would definitely have to be up there for me.
For sure. I would agree.
Interesting. Because, I mean, obviously, like, the trend is going the other way, but there's a difference between – part of the reason why the running back value is down is because there's not that many. There's like three on a roster, and there's a lot. The supply is more than the demand for running backs, right? And that's why the value's down.
I think a well-rounded room, right? Not an individual. Right. I'm not saying it has to be an individual. Like the O-line, right? A well-rounded running back room is worth its weight in gold, right? When you can have three or four dudes that are all contributing, playing anywhere between 20 to 18 snaps a game apiece, like, and they're all contributing when they're on the field, like, that is worth its weight in gold because that keeps the defense on its heels. That allows you to have, like, a fresh back in there, and, it like, you have no drop-off if the year goes on, right? Exactly. The teams that just have the true bell cow, unless your name's Derrick Henry, like, you can't make it a full season anymore without getting dinged one way, shape, or form.
And even then, think about this, too. When you do have one big bell cow and that guy does go down, your whole offense is just, what are we doing now? Are we going to continue running this same offense, or are we going to try and have to start doing new things? And that's why being able to lean on a bunch of guys is great, because it's like Jay said, you don't know the situation you're going to be in, but a guy that can come in and block on third down is phenomenal to have, because that's just another blocker that we need. And at the same time, a scat back, somebody that can just start moving people around for us, they're all really, really good. But I feel like it's hard to find a good team that has a room like that, that's like built for every kind of situation, like somebody that's like a zone runner, and then somebody's a scat back, somebody's also like a, you know what else is too, is you don't see a lot of good screen backs anymore. Like I remember when New Orleans used to play, when we used to play them back in the day with Sean Payton, they were phenomenal at the screen game, but it was because they always beat you so deep with Drew Brees, you know what I'm saying? So the minute they cleared you out, you had to go with him because you thought he was going to throw the ball, and then all of a sudden, 4-0 linemen just leaking out, and you were like, God. This is going to look so bad on film, like sitting on the sidelines watching Drew Brees just dump off this little tiny pass, goes for 60 yards every time.
Is that one of the most gratifying things as an offensive lineman when you
the
see
screen
the
goes?
It's like a second of a defensive lineman's like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, it's a screen.
When you watch a corner fall off a receiver as you're running full steam, and you're like, oh, you have one choice, run around me or run through me. And it's usually they try and like, I'll force it back inside. You don't even feel them. You just run through them like they're not even there.
just bounce off of you. They're 190-pound skinny frames.
Okay, what do we think? Six? Are we on six?
Yeah. Where'd you put receivers? Did we get into receivers?
Oh, definitely. Receivers yet. I think they're somewhere in the last category with divas and –
I think I might have to go tight end room with six. Tight end room linebackers are tied for me at six. I don't know. I think those two guys, like a good tight end. Again, I'm going by room, right? I'm saying positional, not individual, but by room. A good tight end room, like you can have multiple tight ends that are blockers, but if you can have one guy, the true Y that never comes off the field, that's a pass catching threat, but also a run threat. I think those dudes are so good. They're such weapons, right? Like I think Dalton Kincaid's going to be that guy for Buffalo, right? Like some of these dudes, like that's why you're seeing everyone trying to get the next Travis Kelce,
right?
Right. So those, I think linebackers there and tight ends, and then I'm going to have to go with the last is corners and receivers for Tide.
Interesting. For sure. Because in terms of how much guys get paid and where guys get drafted, receivers and cornerbacks are getting drafted and paid more than safeties and linebackers. There's not that many just straight up one-on-one single coverage shutdown corner. So like that guy's valuable.
Oh yeah.
Same with quarterbacks, obviously. Yep. There's 20 franchise quarterbacks in the world and there's 32 teams trying to get access. So
to speak to that, now you kind of understand now why they're so important. I mean, we don't value corners, but if you are a true shutdown corner, like some of these guys, like Patrick Surtain or like the Sauce in New York, like if you're one of those guys and you can help a defense just move two safeties to one side of the field and you're like, hey, I got this whole other side or I got this whole dude, like we don't have to worry about the best player this week. That's different. That can change the game. Like that can be like, okay, we're good. We're good. We don't even have to blitz either, right? Like
Rhodes when he was in his prime.
Oh, when he was in his prime, different.
I mean, if he got beat, he always pulled his hamstring somehow, which was weird.
That was funny. Like, once a game, it was like, oh god.
But then came back and run 106 yard interception back, and we were all like, didn't you just pull your hamstring? Oh, fine. I'm fine. I'm fine now.
I'll never forget that. What was that? 16?
Yeah.
16. I think it was Arizona. He gets beat by Larry Fitzgerald for like a long nine route down the. And he like lays there and he grabs his hamstring. And they like, I think they helped him to the sideline. Right. And we're all like, oh, shoot, man. Zay's done. Like, this ain't good. And then, like, I don't remember when he went back into the game because we were like doing adjustments. And all of a sudden it was like, house call 106 full speed like 23 miles an hour. Is like
the Dion hop step, you know
what just happened?
Wasn't it like the fastest recorded interception ever too? We were like, dude, didn't you literally just pull your hamstring? divas.
Might be a little biased there too. I can't handle those dudes.
Oh my god. All right, well, we didn't rank kicker, punter, and long snapper, but
they
I think
never
we can
will.
Move on
they're
to
not real people. we're not even talking about
they're not real people.
Unless you're Phil Dawson, then you're number one in my heart. I promise, Phil.
They're not real humans.
I've been screwed by too many kickers.
Oh my Blair. God, dude.
Okay, wait. Were you guys on that?
I was.
I was not, thank God. But I got to watch it. I got to watch it in the spring.
For the audience, okay, these guys both played for the Vikings. I host a Vikings podcast. In 2015, you guys won 11 games. Kind of an unexpected, at least from the outside looking in, 11 games. You go and you're playing. This is the Seahawks in the prime of their Seahawksness, right? This is like that team was stacked, and it was below zero wind chill,
outdoor stadium, -22.
And you guys are lining up for a 27-yard game-winning field goal as time is about to expire, and Blair Walsh misses wide left.
I was inactive for that game. That was my first year in Minnesota. I was standing next to Rick Spielman because he had come down out of the booth, like, because we were all going to celebrate. And he missed it. And Rick looks at me, and then he looks back at the field, and he just goes, what the fuck? And then just turned around and walked away. And I was just like, what just happened? Right? And, like, it was the classic in the locker room after the game where, like, Zimmer was like, hey, it's not on Blair. It's on everyone. And I can't remember who it was. It might have been Everson. It was in the back and goes, the fuck it is it? And started, like, freaking out. And, like, because, no, like, no. Seasons, it's like we talked about in the last podcast, right? Season's over. It's done, and everyone's sitting there. And, like, Zimmer tried to do the, like, we lose as a team, we win as a team role. And there was a couple guys that just were not having it. Like, they were like, nope, that's fully on three shoulders, right? We will 27 yards, Blair. Like, yeah, it got bad. Like, that was probably the worst ending to a season I've had just because of like people.
Is
were
there
so
is there any sense pissed. Of like, oh, we feel a little bad for a guy in that moment, or is it just rage?
No,
immediately Our rage. I think as the like rage. As time healed all wounds type of thing, and I don't even know if it all fully healed.
No.
Like eventually you're like, oh, that sucks, but like right there, like immediately after, pure rage because everyone
you're
was
still
cold.
Not pissed. He kicked. He missed
like,
that kick.
Everyone was cold. Like dude,
I'm pissed.
Joe Berger had frostbite on his hands. Like, people were just so upset because of how miserable the game was. And then to end like that, like, it was bad.
Were you pissed? Are you still pissed?
I mean, I was upset because I was going to go to Arizona. We were going to go down to Arizona and play the Cardinals, who we'd already beat that year.
And then the Packers, did the Packers beat the Cardinals? That the Aaron Rodgers, one of the Hail Mary years?
Or was that the Carson Palmer?
That was the year Aaron Rodgers threw the Hail Mary to beat Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, that was that.
But you guys, you guys had a path. I mean,
yeah, because our defense that year was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too bad your kicker sucked. God, that guy cared more about his arms than anything. He worked out biceps.
He was jacked
every day. He wore like Hollister.
Like I have a couple
it
best
drove
friends
me
that are
nuts.
Like I have a couple really good friends that are kickers. Like Brett Maher. Brett Maher is one of my really really good friends. Right, played together in Nebraska. He lives here in Lincoln. And, like, talk about feeling bad for a guy. Like, I felt bad for Brett Maher. Like, now that I was out of it and, like, watching him and knowing him personally and, like, how he's battled going to the CFL and to come back and watch a guy get the yips like that, like, I felt bad for Brett Maher last year.
Yeah. Alex shows no empathy
Alex
whatsoever.
Has zero
at
empathy.
All the kickers I played with are done, so I don't feel bad for any of them.
That's the only game in the last 12 years that I haven't hosted a Vikings post-game show of some kind because we had a Gopher basketball conflict on our radio station. So I was watching that game with a group of 20 friends. I grew up in Minnesota. I've watched the Vikings my whole life since the 80s. I have seen crazy missed kicks in big spots, 98 championship game. There's something about a big kick in a game if you're a Vikings fan that never feel comfortable. And I remember, so the 20 people are high-fiving and celebrating. Oh, my God, like the game's over. And I had a feeling go through my body like The Exorcist. And I said out loud, I said, oh, my God, I think something's going to happen here. Like the weather, something like the snaps, I said, I think something's going to happen. They're like, shut the fuck up, dude. I'm sorry. And sure enough, like... Dude, that type of stuff is why Vikings fans are probably the most tortured current NFL fan base.
Do you remember what we used to do? How we used to mess with Kai Forbath? Cobra Kai?
No.
So, dude, anytime Kai used to come into like the sauna or the locker or whatever, we used to mess with him. We used to do the dodgeball where it was like,
oh, yeah.
Like for the, like, be like, Cobra Kai.
Dude.
Like, oh, we used to mess. He hated it. Oh, he hated it. Dude. It was so fun. God.
Some of them are tough to talk to. I'm not gonna lie to you. Some of them are great though. Some of them are just totally.
They're
wild-y,
weird.
Dude.
They're not like they're just weird. Like I was with Steven Hauschka in Buffalo. This dude had an 8 foot by like 4 foot T square, right? That he would like line up and he'd go through like a 55 minute warm up in practice. And then he'd be like, it'd become like end of practice, field goal, right? We're all dying. It's a Wednesday. It's like, oh, thank gosh, field goal. And he'd come up and be like, ah, just not feeling it. We'd all be like,
what?
What do you mean you're not feeling it? What have you done all day? Right? He's like, I just went through the warm-up. Like, I don't feel it. And so you'd be like, okay, field goal on air. And we'd do field goal period on air. And like, then if he went and missed a kick, we'd all just be like, what is happening? Right?
Like, what do you mean? So he would like instead of lining up,
he would go through like 55 minute warm up. You'd see him on the sideline. He had bands everywhere, and then he'd go to coach and be like, "I just don't feel it right. I just don't feel it. I don't think I have it right now."
But shouldn't you? But isn't that's when you should practice? Because what if you're not feeling it in the third quarter of a
maybe the
division
fans
game?
Don't know that of a 7 day week, we only require the kickers 4 of the days. For 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a max. 30 minutes putting your pads on, not lacing up your shoes, walking out there, taking 4 snaps, turning around and walking off the field. Dude, I'm not kidding you. If a kicker was like, I'm not in the mood, I would have thrown my helmet at him and beat the shit out of him. Are you out of your mind? You're not in the mood to kick a ball? Oh. Jay, you're
I'm not,
so nice.
I'm not really feeling it today.
You know, guys, it's just a little cold. I don't have the wiggle today. I don't got it.
I wish I was lying.
I would have beat his ass. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, I have a weather question here from, let's see here. This is from Mark Larson, YouTube comment section. So he says, we just got home from a concert at Charles Schwab Field. Hi, Jeremiah.
Hello.
Where's 100.
Where's Charles
Schwab?
Omaha.
Okay.
It's where they do the
College World Series.
Baseball?
Okay.
Baseball.
Oh, I love it.
So he said they were at a concert. It was 115 degrees at the stadium. All three of the acts commented on the weather, like the musical acts or chugging water, whatever. It got me thinking, do NFL players ever get so uncomfortable with weather that you just want the game over with so you can be done?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
I've had heat strokes several times, and you know what the answer is? Nobody fucking cares, Boone. It's first down, our ball, go. Like, you're like, dude, it's so – you know what it is? It's the black pellets in the turf, and the minute you fall and they touch you, they singe your body, and you're like, get off of me. God, that's hot. I'm not kidding you. It causes, like, when you're in your stance at times, your feet start to get really hot. You can see guys in their stance like, I need to move. I need to move my feet right now. And people laugh because they have that shade over them. Even my son last year was like, Johnny goes, Dad, look at that umbrella they have on these guys. I'm like, dude, it's like 120 degrees right there. Do you know how hot it is? Because you would sit there and you'd be baking in the sun. And the coach is trying to talk to you and you're like, what are we doing? Where are we? He's like, hey, focus, focus. Like, dude, it is so hot right now. I don't even know what's going on. And remember when we went to Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
So hot, baking hot. Tony got heat flashes. I mean, it was so bad. And everybody's response was, deal with it. Get over it.
Well,
and you're like,
we may have told this story before. So we had joint practices in 2016.
Harsh,
in Cincinnati.
Dude.
And like they were repaving the asphalt, and like it was a million degrees out.
Right next to the public park that we had to practice at. The public park where
you did a joint practice at
a public park.
He calls their facility the public park because you walk across the street from the stadium is where their practice facility is.
It's grass field.
So
there's like monkey bars and a slide.
Not
over
kidding
here.
You. And then the I-95 is right over you.
So we're dying, right? Like it's so hot. And at the end, Sperano, again, rest in peace. He was like, man, no one cares if it's hot. Everyone's hot. It's not that big a deal. Just drink water. You'll be fine. We're like, okay, you're right, coach. We got it. We go to meetings that night. We show up in meetings. And Andrew Junoco, the assistant O-line coach, is in the meeting room. We're waiting. And all of a sudden, he stands up to start running the meeting. We're like, what are you doing? Where's Tony? He's like, Tony had a bit of heat exhaustion, had to go to the hospital. We're like, okay. Like, we're like, okay, great. So he's going to yell at us that it's so hot. No one cares. Oh, we find the hell out of him for that. We find him
bad. I'm not gonna say anything or show anybody, but shout out to that picture.
The fine board.
Jeremiah found a picture of our fine board and showed Mackie to prove that it was real. And it brought back so many memories.
We'll pull it up. We'll pull it up at one point. We have to edit some things out there to make sure we don't get canceled. There's gonna be some black bars across there, but we'll pull it up. We'll pull it up.
We need one for the podcast. We absolutely need one for the podcast. Anytime Alex changes his take mid-take based on which team it would be, it's a fine for sure.
I'm just saying
that's conduct unbecoming.
Oh, that's a rookie fine.
I'm looking at the board right now. I mean, I won't. We can show it to the audience in time. But you guys have 25 things on here.
Oh, it's a lot.
You know, my favorite is if practice fines. Being too sensitive is $15, but being ultra sensitive is $30.
Yes. And they always compounded, right? Because it was always someone got sensitive, and then if they mouth back at all, it's like, oh, ultra, ding. And you got to remember, for every fine, we had a doorbell. The doorbell that you ring at like the front of like the hotels, right? And so every fine would just be ding. And then ding. Boone was the fine, he had the bell, and I was the ledger. And so then I'd pop open this big old notebook, and I'd be like, who is it? They'd be like, oh, it's Berger sensitive. They're like, all right, Berger sensitive. They'd be like, oh, what, Bob? Ultra, ding, right?
I didn't say that. Now you're lying, $50.
100%.
Ding.
It could compound. It compounded so fast.
Listen, the best thing
by the end
was
of the year, we had $30,000 in fines.
If somebody said anything to you, the best thing to do was just agree and walk away. Especially for me, because I remember sitting there a lot of times, like, Jeremiah in the back of my head, like, just – dude, shut up and it won't be $1,000 fine. All of a sudden it'd be yeah. like, well, you know what? Ding.
Yep.
No, ding.
All right, fair point. Fair point. That's fine.
A lot of boons were false bells, right? Like, because he'd get a little bell happy. And so he'd ding someone before it was a fine. And he'd be like, what was that for? He'd be like, I don't know. False bell. Well, no, it was up sensitive. Ding. Right? Like, it would just, it sounded like the New York Stock Exchange in there some days, dude. Just going off the rails.
Tony has much. Like, he'd just pause the meeting and wait for everyone to stop talking. Yeah. About that was the thing, too, is like, Tony would be going, all of a sudden, ding, pause it. He'd be like, what is it? So and so for this. Got it. Play. All right, back to it. Here we go. Like, he just never bothered him. And he always knew that. One of those was on there for him.
Yeah, we used to Eddie Haskell. We had the Eddie Haskell fine on there, which is like, have you seen?
Better you not Eddie Haskell me.
You know Eddie Haskell, right, Mackie?
What's
leave it to Beaver?
Oh
Beaver.
yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, thanks, Mrs. Beaver.
Yeah.
Right, like so, like we had a couple of those guys that, like, if anyone was like, oh yeah, Tony, yeah, that's it. Ding, Eddie Haskell.
Oh, it sounds great. Yeah, we'll just slide left on that protection. Or okay,
if, like, if you asked the question, you knew an answer to. Like,
that was the biggest.
So just want to make sure.
If we're going slide protection to the right here, and this linebacker that we're going to, he comes back over this way, right? We still have to go to that guy we're sliding to, right? Like the dumb, like,
ding,
ding, Eddie Haskell.
Oh my god! So much
yeah, okay.
Fun.
We'll start working on the podcast version of this board here.
We'll get that.
Sure.
I'm getting
we'll
get a bell.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's gonna. The bell sounding 100 times during the podcast is going to really help grow the audience.
You told you, Wall Street Exchange, it's got to go. It's got to go, dude. Hey, we had so much fun, though, at the end of the year when we went out, because that was some of the best times of our lives.
Yes.
Let me give you guys one more here in the last couple minutes from Dumb Football Question from Hawkstar5088 on YouTube. How do NFL locker rooms view division rivalries? They're important to win, but do NFL players have the same level of hatred that fans do when you actually know the guys on the other team?
Hatred's a strong word.
Very strong.
It's really hard to hate anyone in the NFL because you never know if one day you're going to be their teammate. Right? It's not like college. Right? In college, like, you could hate the dude from Michigan or you could hate the dude from Iowa because you're like, I'll probably never see that dude again in my life. And then once you get to the NFL, who cares? Right? We're all on the same page.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're playing against a D lineman from Green Bay twice a year, like, yeah, there's going to be some, but, like, at the end of the day, you might be his teammate next year, right? So there's no bad blood, but I will say there's always a heightened sense of urgency when it comes to division games. And the coaches, for more or less, like, those are the dudes that they're buttholes. Packer week for the Vikings, like, you couldn't squeeze a fart out of the buttholes of those coaches if you tried.
No.
Right? Like, everyone got all, like, it's the Packers week. It's like, it's just another week. Like, yes, it's a big, important game. The game basically counts as two. Like, we get it. But, like, the coaches, I think, have a much more heightened sense for that. The players never really see it as, like, hatred for the other team.
I would say, if anything, you're probably closer to the guys on those teams than anything because you see them twice a year. So we're talking twice a year after the games. We're studying each other a lot more. And at the same time, like Jay said, nobody in this league really hates each other. I mean, there might be a few bad blood relationships that end up, like, turning into fights. But for the most part, once you leave the field, you're like, it's over. Like, whatever happened out there had to happen. I had to do what I had to do. He had to do what he had to do. And we're good. But when you talk about guys, like, in season, I think about a lot of the Cardinals. We were friends with those guys. Like, we would talk to them a lot. And then they would, if their season was over, they would tell us some stuff about Seattle or they would tell us stuff about the Rams or, you know. I will say this. We weren't very friendly with the Seahawks, but we hated the Rams. And I don't know why we hated them, and I don't know why they hated us. But I just, whatever we, like, and it wasn't, I won't say this, like, I've never had a coaching staff like I had with Zim here where their buttholes just got super, super tight. And you were like, God, this is annoying. Like, if anything, Harbaugh just was always a crazy dude. So it was like, he's just getting crazier, right? But, like, when you play your divisional games, I agree with Jay, your coaches get super here. Like, they got super uptight. But, like, when I was in Frisco and we'd play the Rams for whatever reason, you just felt the hate. Like, they were like, yo, we're playing Jeff Fisher. You know how we feel about this, dude. And I was like, why do we hate Jeff Fisher? Like, shut up, rookie. All right, yeah, whatever.
It's the goatee. We are the goatee.
Right? And, like, they would just be like, you know, the Rams. Like, all right, yeah, the Rams, whatever. Yeah. You know, but, like, everybody else, we were like, oh, yeah, I'm playing the Cardinals this week. Cardinals, okay. This is going to be great. We're going to kick their ass. And now it's like, no, it's the Rams, dude. Like,
well, I think a lot of it, too, is you watch so much of those guys on tape, right? Because your division plays the same people that you play. Right, it's like, so you're watching Like, we used to watch the Packers O-line all the time because they probably played a team that we're going to play.
And they were a good team, so we wanted to judge them.
So you get familiar with the guys that you watch and you see. So it's hard to get, like, hatred for a guy that you have, like, respect for his game. Right. Like, if you have respect of, like, man, that guy plays the game the right way, like, regardless what color he wears, like, I think the NFL is all built on respect.
Right. And that's a great point to Jay, too, but when you're playing guys from your division, you have to be smart because they know everything you're going to do because they see you every week. So they're constantly putting stuff in their bank like, hey, this guy does this on this. Because like by the end of the year, you can know a little bit about a lot of guys around the league. Like you're like, all right, this guy's strong. This guy is quick or whatever. But the guys in your division, you're like, oh, if he puts two hands in the ground, he's doing this. If he puts like you just know every so the more years you play these teams, the more you keep story up. So like, by the end of it, when you've played somebody 8-10 times, it's a battle, dude. Like when it's third and long and they know the slide's going away, you are like, all right, dude, this is the best on best. This is the best I'm ever going to pull out. And your tackle's like, dude, it's go time, bro. Like they know everything about you. They know your snap count. They know your live colors. They know your fake colors. You're like, dude, we have to be ultra smart this week. Like at times it gets really, really hard because you have to outsmart them while at the same time you don't even know if they're doing any of this, right? Like, this is all just an assumption. Like, we know this much about them. They must know this much about us. So now we have to out-scheme them. And so it's like a big chess match. And then you look back, you're like, was it even worth it? Like, we could have – were they really paying that much attention to it? Or was it just us probably thinking too much into it? And that's where I feel like coaches get a little bit – and we just call it chasing ghosts. Like, they just chase those ghosts. Like, hey, they could do this. And you're like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's a dangerous thing to do because that keeps me here till midnight. Okay.
There's a thing in the poker world called out leveling your opponent, where it's like the first level is what are my cards? Like for you guys, it would be what is the play that we're running, and the second level is what do I think that guy is going to do with his cards, and then the third level is what do I think he thinks I'm going to do, and then you climb the ladder, and I can see that being the case in divisional football. They know that we might do this, and they know that we know that we're going to do that. So what's the counter?
Just, and they know that just check run the ball. To Peter is power, but now we're going to call Peter fake power stutter, and you're like, is this really necessary? Because now my mind is jumbled and I'm not sure what Peter means, and forever it meant power. Oh, my God.
And then you get to the next week and they're like, everything we did for the last 7 days means nothing. Right? Like, exit it out of your mind.
True story. Coach, does Peter mean power? Are you an idiot? What did I just say? Okay.
Like, sounds good, coach. Sure. Sounds good. Sure. By the way, I hate all rival podcasters, right? Yeah. Locked On Packers, all that bullshit. Yeah,
it's fair.
By the way, if you guys could, again, click the like button and the subscribe button on the YouTube channel, you can help us spread the word here as we go into the regular season about this offensive line lifestyle podcast. And keep sending us. We love these dumb football questions. These guys are awesome at answering them. And keep sending them to us.
Film soon.
And film next week. We'll get the film rocking again. We've got our regular season schedule locked and loaded, we think, for recording. So we're going to do two or three film reviews a week. We'll do the full podcast for audio and for YouTube. So, yeah.
It's going to be great.